Next on BYUSN, men's hoop signs their chief of staff in Doug Stewart. Who is he? What does he bring to the position? The latest in potential revenue sharing in a new college sports compensation model. How could it affect BYU?
Plus, Dawson Baker is in studio. Talk about his choice to stay at BYU and what he's looking forward to the most with playing for Coach Kevin Young. And women's basketball transfer Mariah Hudgens talked to us about playing at BYU, why she decided to make the move to Provo, all on this Friday.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, May 3rd. Tomorrow is one of my favorite days all year. May the 4th be with you. It's the best.
How many times are you going to say it tomorrow?
I'm calling a rugby game tomorrow. I will offer plenty in
I'm
that.
I'm sure you will.
I'm Jeremy Jordan. He is Dave McCann, who is the younger brother of two older brothers.
Let me tell you, seniority is a thing. There's the older, then the next. And it even goes into the Nakua family.
Yes, it does.
Kai Nakua, as you know, is playing in the UFL. And here's an interesting pair of tweets. Pro Football Talk tweets out an article about how Kai's UFL Defensive Player of the Year candidate referred to him as Puka Nakua's brother. Well, Kai responded with the post, Kai Nakua, Puka Nakua's older brother.
That's how it works, yeah.
that's family right there. And you can bet that conversation has been had between the two brothers.
And Kai's like, I played in the NFL before you did. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's been with a couple of teams.
No matter what Puka does, Kai will always be the big brother.
That's how
and
that's how
that's what big brothers big sometimes we have to remind that.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you are the younger brother. And so
Samson's still kicking with the Michigan Panthers in the UFL. So
yeah, what a family.
Yeah, trying to figure it out.
It's awesome.
Okay, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Once I realized how special this place was, it actually became a really easy choice.
I just love the flow of the game, the pace of the game.
But the big thing is getting the right people in here.
We're going to put a good staff together.
We could coach at an extremely high level.
Another piece of men's basketball news rolls in. It's fun times, especially when you do a daily sports show. BYU men's basketball hires Doug Stewart as the new chief of staff. What is this, the White House, the West Wing? A position BYU hasn't had previously. It's essentially the general manager. Right. Football has this, by the way, with John Swift. What do you think about Kevin Young bringing in Doug Stewart in a new position as chief of staff?
The first thing I thought of was, as Kevin Young has said, we want to create an NBA staff, an NBA environment. We want kids to come here to go to the NBA. So he gets a general manager. Mm-hmm. He's always had one. And he's comfortable with that. The question is, what does the chief of staff do at BYU that's not the director of operations, which he is not.
Yep.
He's not the associate athletic director, which he's not. So
he's not even director of operations.
Right, yeah. So we have some things. But first, who is this guy? And where is he coming from? He's coming from Nevada, where he's been in the athletic administration for a little while.
Yep.
So he brings that element of how things run. Assistant coach at Tulane, an assistant coach at Nevada. Was with the Delaware 87ers when Kevin Young was.
Yes.
They were together on the staff.
Kevin Young was the head coach.
Yeah.
That's how they knew each other.
And then you go back further, you got Oregon State, you had Brown. I love that he played for the Washington Generals, the nemesis of the Harlem Globetrotters.
That's
so
awesome.
When he gets here, there's about an hour of stories just in those 5 years. He also played at Brown.
Yep.
Every person that he's brought in so far has legitimate characteristics of what he's trying to build, which is a professional staff.
Yeah.
And so when you look at him, you go, it seems like he fits the mold.
I would imagine that his responsibilities could include name, image, likeness, and then national letter of intent. I said it spelled out because NIL and NLI are different. But those two are a big deal, aka roster management, right? The director of ops, which Nate Austin had last year, TBD on kind of who they have, if that's Nate returning or someone else, is the logistics guy.
Yeah.
The hotels, the food, and so on, and travel and whatnot. They have an important role. This role is more general manager, more roster management. And certainly as things evolve in college athletics, you need someone who kind of oversees that element. And so Doug Stewart could be overseeing that kind of stuff. He's got the Ivy League education. He's got the college experience, not only as an assistant coach, but as an admin in development in Nevada. He was a part of some really good recruiting classes at Oregon State and Nevada, where they competed really well. Obviously, he's been in the G League in a professional environment and with Kevin Young. So you really like the fit. There was a lot of smoke with Doug Stewart, given that He was followed by Tom Homa last week on Twitter. And Doug has been retweeting a lot of Kevin Young and BYU basketball content for the last 3 weeks. And so I've been waiting for this to be announced because it was like...
A lot of guys at other schools
seems like you're coming here.
Tweeting Kevin
Young. It'd be really weird if Liz Darger suddenly started tweeting a lot of Nebraska content.
You know? Yeah.
It'd be like, are you going to Nebraska? What's going on? So excited to have Doug Stewart here. Excited to meet him. And this is kind of a new role that BYU basketball's not having, the chief of staff here. I kind of see it like you as like a general manager type. And so here we go, this sort of professional mindset and mantra, and let's develop guys to get to that next level. And as things evolve, you have to evolve. I think this is the perfect situation to bring in a guy with this kind of great resume for this position right now.
There's a lot of things a coach is asked to do, a lot of directions pulled. This seems to me to be something where it's like, he can do this, so I can coach.
Yep, I can work with the guys.
You worry about that, I can do this. Burgess, you worry about the big guy, let me do this. And, yep. and what does a smart guy do? A smart guy surrounds him with smarter guys.
Chad Lewis wrote a book about this very topic.
For sure.
Okay, so an updated look at the coaching staff.
Here's the lineup.
Kevin Young is the head coach. We've got Brandon Dunson as the first assistant. Hired Chris Burgess earlier this week. Now Doug Stewart, chief of staff. This does not count against the assistant coach options. So there are three open positions. Should BYU choose to fill those? I've been told the plan is to fill those. We'll see. And then there's also director of operations. There's graduate assistants. There's
a lot
of people, right? You bring in typically, if you want, your own strength and conditioning coach, or is the previous guy retained? That all has to be figured out. So there's lots to figure out there. Oh, and by the way, there's 4 scholarship players, at least. That could be, it's somewhere around there for BYU to bring in here. We'll talk to Dawson Baker coming up. How's he receiving all this hiring and newness and why he decided to return? Certainly a big piece of the BYU team coming up this year.
All this newness seems to put the spotlight right on the importance of retaining the roster, which is what he wanted to do.
It was a good roster.
Foremost.
It went to the tourney.
It's going to allow them to do all this without panic buying.
Yep.
And panic buying always puts you in a fix.
You never regret that.
And so those pieces, while he's doing that, and he's got this, including Dawson, you get that there's no panic next door. You feel that?
I have the sense that it's very and Brandon Dunson explained it well, where he said, we're trying to find the right people, the right fits for the right things we need and who they are and what they can bring to us. So Doug Stewart is the newest addition to the BYU basketball team.
All right, here's another topic. This is interesting. Hang with us here because this is going to take a setup. The days of paying players to play seem to be just around the corner, and a potential settlement between the NCAA and a name, image, and likeness case might just bring it in for good. So House is suing the NCAA. It's claiming it's illegal to restrict how an athlete can monetize their name, image, and likeness. They're expected to win that case, which goes to court in January. So if they do, it's estimated the NCAA will lose $4 billion. $4 billion. So they want to settle. They want to settle. So they're working on this settlement. And here's the scenario that's all over in the reporting. The NCAA National Office would pay $2.7 billion to cover everything that's behind them. Back pay for NIL things and settle lawsuits.
When does that start,
by
the way?
Stuff.
I have no idea.
I'm not sure.
It's not been explained.
Then the other side of the deal is the schools would then engage in a revenue sharing program with the student athletes moving forward. So the schools have the future. And the NCAA is going to cover the back pay. That is that's a lot of money. Now, Ross Dellinger, one of the reporters, laid out the potential compensation model. So I'm going to let you walk us
through
this.
From Yahoo Sports.
On what do you make of all of this? There's a lot of dollars on that page.
Right. So $300 million over 10 years, so about 30 per year. So the idea is that that he laid up, Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, $17 to $22 million could be part of what you're giving your athletes, $2 million in back pay, back to the previous athletes, is my understanding, or to the NCAA, up to $10 million in scholarship expansion. So this part was interesting in this article, and go check it out, the full article, for full context there. Some sports have, every sport has a limit on scholarships, but there could be an increase in the amount of scholarships you could bring to a team. So, for example, in men's volleyball, it is a whopping 4.5 scholarships. But what if that went up to the roster size of 18 or whatever? Or 11.7, super random number, right, for baseball.
Yeah.
What if you said, no, it's a 28-person
team? It would change baseball.
You could. The school could choose to go up to 28. Now, that would be really interesting to me because Now, and oh, by the way, not every school is required to even do this. It would just be a recruiting advantage should you do it. The deadline apparently to get this done for next fall is 40 days out. Otherwise, it might go to the next year. But this move is expected to potentially be a game changer here. Would BYU would then have to decide what they want to do relative to the situation. Do they want to compete in this space or not? And it could be very interesting. In some spaces, BYU is uber competitive on the field in spite of anything around. Like women's soccer and women's volleyball, they don't have huge NIL or
right.
these huge whatever advantages. They do it primarily with LDS kids from Utah and California, and they are top 10, top 15. But it's football, men's basketball, where you really have to expand regarding NIL and all over that. You have to recruit the world. So this could be a massive game changer for everybody, but it certainly affects BYU.
So the screamers are like, what? Where's the money going to come from? And in the reports, it would come from TV contracts, ticket sales, bowl revenue. And there appears to be no shortage of, we know tickets just went up on campus here. And that's a revenue generating source, but around the country, this is where the money would come from for schools. Some are naturally going to go, we're out. You know, we don't want to be in this game.
Which P4s would choose that, I wonder?
Because
we're not talking about G5s here.
Right.
We're talking about the Power 4 with this model.
They're the ones who are making the money, and they're the ones who can afford it.
Yeah.
The others probably can't. And I went, what's UNLV going to do?
Right.
You know, and then at some point you go, you know what? We're not going to do any of that. We've been priced out.
And that is an absolute possibility for a lot of schools. Yeah. I am concerned at the idea, though, that so BYU competes with the likes of UCLA, who gets amazing athletes in men's volleyball, talk specifically, with those only 4.5 scholarships. If UCLA said, no, we're going to fully support this, we're going to have 12 full scholarships. Like most of the men's volleyball team, they're getting a piece of something. They don't have a full scholarship.
Right.
I get half tuition, you get books, you get
a sandwich.
Like, you get a sandwich, yeah. It's tough, right? So if a team like UCLA said, no, we have 12, and BYU said, well, we're going to stick with 4.5. Now it's tough in recruiting to bring in the amount of guys you want to compete at that level. And that's just men's volleyball. In football, I wonder if they would cap it at like 110 or 120.
You almost,
right now it's 85.
Right, and the idea certainly comes from the SEC and the Big Ten as they're moving forward. And
they continue
to get out in front of this thing. There's the push for we need a national commissioner to oversee this.
Who wants to take that?
Yeah, I don't know. If the price is right, somebody will.
Right.
But they need somebody to do that because there needs to be someone in charge.
Yeah.
And right now there isn't.
Right,
right now the Big Ten commissioner and the SEC commissioner kind of feel like they're in charge.
Yes.
And you know, is there enough money? Well, just Georgia, for example, yesterday increased their head coach's salary to $13 million a year for the next 9 years.
Yeah.
Like $117 million. Yeah. So it's not a problem for Georgia.
I saw 10 for 130.
Yeah,
like, it's probably huge.
It's not a problem for Georgia.
Yeah.
And so those schools where it's not a problem, why wouldn't you? The only reason you don't field a full scholarship volleyball team is you're restricted. So if you're not restricted, what's stopping you? And so there's opportunity for a greater separation among the P4s.
Yes.
As to
and kind of the P2 and the other P2.
Yeah.
And Big 12 is in the other P2, right? We're playing for third here against the SEC / Big 10. But it's certainly better than what BYU's been in. BYU's always smart in how they handle finances. They operate in the black. They don't spend money before they get, like, BYU operates in a very safe and awesome space. And the Cougars have done a tremendous job with that historically. And they continue to be super competitive and are doing well. Like, let's continue to grow this, and if there's an opportunity for BYU to be competitive in this space, I can't wait for it. I can't wait for it. But the haves and the have-nots continue to be separated. Will football at some point just break away completely in this whole NCAA model? It does make things a little easier because I have Title IX questions relative to this too. Because if you increase suddenly men's volleyball, do you have to now increase someone else to extend, you know, women's volleyball as well? Although I think they have 12 or 13, I believe. But it is a complicated, interesting conversation over potential revenue. What's this going to look like? What are the TV contracts in the future? It's all undetermined, but it is quite interesting.
And the reason it's moving fast is January. They're not going to get to January. It's going to happen before January. There's no way the NCAA is going to court in that house case.
Yeah.
And the underlying theme, as crazy as it might sound, of players getting paid to play and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. And the underlying theme is this scenario we're talking about is designed to save college sports. Because if it doesn't work and they're on the hook for $4 billion, right? There's not enough money to do that. Their idea is this revenue sharing plan keeps the P4s together moving forward.
For now.
As opposed to being off.
Yeah. These schools and these brands, to me, will always exist. I'm talking about the big ones. It's just what will it look like? And hopefully, forever, we'll have these Olympic sports also looking like they look. That is the concern. As someone who has called Olympic sports for a long time, and even clubs, it's like, oh, these matter. It's not just about football and men's basketball. Okay, our question of the day is, along these lines, how has your fandom been affected by the transfer portal and NIL? All this stuff, revenue sharing, potentially in college sports. Mickey Mitchell on X. It hurts and it helps. We lose good talent, but gain good talent. BYU will always be blessed. Being in the Big 12 should help those that want to be here. The good thing is BYU's in a great spot. You think about where BYU was 3 years ago. Right. We were panicking that BYU would be left out of this. BYU's going to be in these conversations as a P4 now, which is awesome.
And they're in the revenue stream, which would help pay for this.
Yeah.
So it's not like, hey, you've got to go
figure this out.
It's like, no, the resources are there because you're here.
Yes.
Do you want to stay here and compete with them?
Yes.
Then you got to figure out how to pay your players.
And BYU's revenue this year is very similar to what it was last year in TV revenue. And then next year it goes up with the new TV contract. So BYU's in an even better spot. Let's go.
The casual hippie on X, it's always been about the name on the front, not the name on the back. This NIL and transfer portal mess just reinforces that. I'm a fan of BYU. I cheer for and support the players here.
Yeah, the brands are the biggest thing. Like you show up for that. And obviously there's individuals that you root for. But certainly when you wear the blue and white of BYU, whether it be Royal or Navy, or both, the Kalani as we call it, everybody's in. Let's go. Continue to weigh on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Lots of opinions on this, and it's going to get interesting over the summer. Hey, speaking of, in a few weeks when it's nice, hot, and warm down in Phoenix, BYU TV will be there, a BYU SN 1 hour special at the Fan Fest, May 18th at noon Eastern time. See it here and listen on BYU Radio. Cougars go back to Phoenix, play Arizona State now as members of the Big 12 the week before Thanksgiving. But all Cougar Nation, and we've been down there for football games.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
There's thousands and thousands of them. This is your thing.
Great Cougar fan fans fest down there. Average 91 to 99 degrees, so let's go. Up next, Dawson Baker's in studio. Why he decided to return and play for Kevin Young, and what's the vibe among the players right now? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Baker, look at that move. Up and in for three. That's good!
That's it.
Right down the barrel and right through the hoop, Dallin Hall.
Oh, BYU basketball. Everybody's pumped. Every day it feels like there's something right, either a rumor, report, or an actual hiring. And that is the case as we continue on BYU Sports Nation. Great to have you with us, Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann. Our first guest of the day is a guy who's on the team. He said he's coming back, and it's year to year. You can transfer every year, so you have to declare that you're coming back. His name is Dawson Baker. Dawson. Great to have you in, man. How you doing?
I'm excited to be here. I'm doing great.
Basketball certainly is, a big deal, but you're getting married this month.
Yeah.
You got big things going on?
I got big things. A lot of big things going on. So, I'm excited about getting married.
All right. Tell us about the bride-to-be.
Maddie Weeks. Warm, local girl. Met her in class.
Which class?
Upper Division Ryan class. A class we both met each other and then quickly dropped after we met each other. So,
what is that class?
The class,
what'd you say?
It's a required class you got to take as a writing requirements. There's a lower division, upper division. That was just the upper division requirement.
So you're brought together in this class. You sit down next to her. What? How does this happen?
We locked eyes.
Wait just a second. Cue the music.
we locked eyes, and then we didn't sit next to each other, but we kind of felt like we sat next to each other, but I sat behind her, like a person or two behind her. Made sure I remembered her name from roll call.
Yeah.
And then had her social media, and so had her connected just in case.
Then you both dropped the class.
Yeah.
So then had that moment not happened.
Never would happen. So it's meant to be.
So it was a fruitful season despite not playing a ton.
Yeah, took advantage of the timeout.
did the foot injury assist in the relationship building?
It did. It showed me she was a really good nurse. She helped a lot, and really sympathetic. So I saw really good, a lot of good qualities out of her because of the foot.
That's awesome.
How's it been physically and emotionally last year? Because you were hoping to play, but your foot didn't heal in the way you were hoping. Did you need to have surgery again to fix that? How are you doing?
So I had two surgeries, actually three, but had two on my foot. I had one extra one on my knee, just a precautionary thing. But yeah, it was weird because I thought the surgery was far enough before the season that it would have been cleared up and everything. Turns out no sign of healing, so there's still a fracture in the foot. Had to get another one, take out the rod, put a plate, bone graft, all the whole deal. But feeling a lot better, responding a lot better now, doing a lot more, so.
Will you give us the timeline of, because you played a few games and it was super sore. It was clear that it wasn't the same. Did you have that second surgery after that?
Yeah, probably a month after that when I declared I was just going to redshirt. Yeah, during the season. So I didn't. That's why I missed a lot of travel during the season. I was having surgeries and checkups and wasn't able to walk. So that's, yeah.
That's such a bummer. How did you deal with it?
It was hard. I mean, I've never done an injury like that before. And most of it now is probably a week or something. I never really missed a practice. And so going to have a whole season where you kind of have to sit in sideline, especially going to a new environment where you want to make your mark and kind of earn your right. It was hard to watch, especially we had a good team, and like I thought my impact would be great with what we had. So a lot of frustration, a lot of patience, but I mean, there's a lot of good positives I'm seeing out of it now, you know, having 2 years with the new coach and things like that are something to look forward to.
What'd you learn while you had to kind of sit and watch the guys obviously succeed, and that was difficult like you said, but what were some of the positives that you gained from this?
We got a lot of shooters. I mean, that's pretty well known across the nation. But how I fit in that, I think, serves me really well and serves the guys really well. I think it's a compliments both of us. I mean, it opens up the lanes a lot. It allows me to play my game and get downhill and get in the paint and play make. And so there's a lot of different openings I see from this school versus my last school that I can take advantage of, which made me super excited.
Do you feel like you've just been, that injuries have just kept you from showing Cougar Nation, hey, this is who I am, this is what I do, because they know where you came from, they know the averages and all that stuff, and it's like, when are we going to see him? And you're like, I'm right here, but I can't move.
Absolutely. That's probably the most frustrating part, just because we've got such a diehard fan base here. I was so excited to kind of show them my skill set, and I had the decision just to redshirt right away or play a couple games, see how it goes, and even though I kind of knew the foot was still kind of broken, I was like, I want to at least show what I can do, even if it's at 60-70%. And so I'm glad I played those games. I kind of just get my face out there, get a little recognition. But that's been the hardest part, you know? Yeah. That's what I've been kind of waiting for. And every day I shoot, I'm like, man, I can't wait.
I'll tell you, after the San Diego State game, Blaine and I are talking with their staff. And the head coach goes, hey, what's up with Dawson Baker? And you hadn't played yet, right, because you're out with a foot. And we said, well, they're still kind of waiting. His foot's healing. And he goes, he's the best player on their team. And that was the first time Blaine and I are like, who is this Dawson Baker?
That's quite the compliment from Brian Decker.
Total compliment from an outstanding coach who he said you had lit him up three times and they tried everything to stop you. But that's when we were like going, hey, when that's healthy, the sky's a limit. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm just as confident as anybody. That's the way you got to be in college basketball, just in basketball in general. Like, you got to be confident and believe you're the best. And so I continue to do that, and people here have helped me feel that confidence. And I'm sure the new coaching staff and the players we got around me, they're also going to feel that confidence.
Talking to Dawson Baker on BYU Sports Nation, April 12th, Mark Pope takes the Kentucky job. Walk us through kind of the timeline of, okay, I got to meet this new coach, and I got to decide if I still want to be here and if they want me and so on and so on.
So I was at my fiance's house and my phone just kept blowing up. I wasn't looking at it. She's like, you should probably check that. So I did. We kind of got the news and we got a text message to our group chat and like, we got a meeting at 8 a.m. So we're all like, okay, we probably know what's going on here.
Were you surprised?
Surprised, yeah. I mean, I knew he'd be a candidate for that job. I think we all knew that. I think the amount of people that said no and how the listing went, it was kind of surprising. Yeah. But I knew if the opportunity came, like, it was something that he would look forward to. So not surprised in that regard. But, yeah, a lot of gloomy days after, kind of like, what am I going to do, you know?
Well, let's go back to 8 a.m. What happens at 8 a.m.?
So we meet, he comes in, talks to us, and kind of gives us the whole rundown of what's going on. Yeah. And obviously the Kentucky connection for him was a big deal. And so, I mean, we all kind of get it. A lot of us kind of get it. But yeah, afterwards it's kind of like, what do I, you know, this is the guy that recruited me to be here, and what am I supposed to do with that? And for my thought process, I just thought the only wrong decision is a quick one in that moment. Just kind of let time settle, let the cards fall where they may. I knew this is where I wanted to be. This is the fan base I wanted to be a part of. This is the community I want to be part of. You know, the religious aspect is a big part of it. And I knew they would find a coach that was going to fit what I would like, you know. Yeah. I knew the candidates were, and so I wasn't too worried. I was just gonna let time settle, see how things go, and then make a decision when I had more information in front of me.
All right, well then the information of Kevin Young comes in front of you. What do you think?
I mean, ecstatic. I mean, didn't know much about him, but just to see a resume like that, and I think the biggest thing for me was just seeing his relationships with players in the NBA and how they respected each other. That says a lot about a coach. So I was super excited to kind of get someone like that in here and have a culture of like a player-coach relationship that's super strong, and having someone that's seen everything in basketball, has been through it all. So I'm super excited for the opportunity to work with him.
You mentioned in your post about, hey, I'm returning. Hey, I'm excited about the role that I'll have. What was the conversation like with KY about how he expects to use you?
Yeah, I mean, we had some talks about it, and obviously as time goes on, we'll figure out a little bit more about what that looks like and who's coming in. I mean, we still got some spots to fill, but I mean, he's super excited about extending my game more than it already is. I'm a three-level scorer, and he kind of knows that, and he's made it known that he's watched a lot of film on me and super excited to expand my game in the three levels that I score in and see where we can go from there. But I don't see it being much different than what was already kind of in place for me to come here, you know, having shooters around me and be able to play make and make baskets when I need to and settle the game, and drawing fouls and doing what I do. So I think a lot of the things are gonna stay the same. I'm just excited to work with someone that's kind of, you know, he's like, we're gonna watch a film about Devin Booker, things that you do that are similar to him. So having that experience and that relationships with people like that is just big time.
Speaking of Devin Booker, you're down at game 3.
Yeah.
Suns, Timberwolves, all access pass for the guys. What was that like as one, you met some of the Suns, but you also, as you mentioned a moment ago, you see your new head coach as a member of the Suns, and everybody in basketball wants to get to the league.
Yeah.
What was it like? What did you take from that?
It's a surreal moment. You know, I haven't been to a lot of NBA games, which is kind of surprising, but like, you know, you see Kevin Durant right there, and you feel like you're watching on TV still. It's kind of surreal. But it's awesome to see him in his element, see him working with people that he works with every day, and just see the relationships that he has and the care he has for the game and how much it means to him. And so it was cool to see him in that atmosphere, and obviously a playoff atmosphere, super cool.
What were the players like to you guys? They're like, hey, this is KY's new guy.
Yeah, I think they were kind of like, who are these guys? And then once KY came out and started greeting us and stuff, like, oh, this is must be the BYU guy kind of guys. And so it was cool. You know, they're respectful, and even though they were kind of down two games in that point in the series, they were still super cordial and nice to people around them and showed love to, which is surprising. I thought it was going to be, you know, all about business and getting things done, but they were doing both.
That same thing is to, you know, any kids that come courtside now, you can which is cool. Like, you're not stressed. Maybe I should.
Yeah, right. No, that's
in those moments, it's probably hard, right?
Yeah.
When we talk about this roster, certainly spots to fill, like you mentioned, Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders have chosen to come back. What's the vibe like among the group that is returning? This is our group, and we still have a couple more guys.
Yeah, I think it's great to have the core that we have. I mean, having Richie and Dallin come back is really big for us. I mean, they just get BYU basketball, and they're a lot of what has built here already. So to have guys like that with experience playing in the Big 12 and also playing for BYU is big time for us. So it kind of gives us a core and helps coach kind of know what to recruit, you know, what we're going to be playing with, and the style kind of helps when we have a core already. So super excited that they're going to play again selfishly for me so I can play this time, but yeah.
When do you think that foot will be cleared where you can take the court full bore?
Right now it's kind of like a day by day, week by week thing, and we're working, rehabbing a lot and getting the strength back.
Like August? Is it August the timeline or September?
I think we're quicker. Like right now I'm pretty full board going. We're just kind of taking it minimal kind of workouts right now, but I think in the next month for sure I should be like completely 100, no limitations, wow, feeling great. And so, yeah.
Cool. Be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. We're excited to see you play full bore. It'll be awesome. Thanks for taking the time and coming on in.
Awesome.
And congratulations.
Best of luck with the marriage this month.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome,
fantastic.
Man.
Thank you.
Dawson Baker. Hey, there's baseball tonight. You got to go to Miami if you want to see it live, or you can watch Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus to watch it. Cougars and Hurricanes game 2, 7 Eastern, and tomorrow's game 3, noon Eastern, both on BYU Radio with Greg Wrubell on the call.
Exciting game last night. Went to Texas.
Yeah.
Let's see what
just
happens.
Need a timely hit.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep. Got it, Texas. That was great. Coming up, transfer portal assessments, what one account says that has us wondering how far off they are. When will we start to care about bracketology from Joe Lenardi? And who wants to play glow-in-the-dark baseball? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content all day long. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I'm Jeremy. He's Dave. Time for today's headlines.
Here we go. Number one, men's basketball hires Doug Stewart as the new chief of staff. Stewart spent the last 2 years as assistant athletic director of development over at Nevada. Coached previously with Kevin Young as an assistant with the Delaware 87ers. Not to be confused with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, don't you dare confuse them.
In the G League. Stewart joins Brandon Dunson, who was on the show earlier in the week, and Chris Burgess on Kevin Young's staff with more to come.
After trailing 3-0 in the first inning, the softball team scored 7 unanswered runs to beat Kansas 8-6 in Lawrence yesterday, thanks to 3 RBIs from Hunter Ava. 4 1/3 scoreless innings pitched by Chloe Temples. Game 2 of the series is tonight, 7 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+.
Over in Miami, baseball dropped a 3-2 game to the Hurricanes in 12 innings. Cougar pitching staff allowed 8 hits, struck out 11. Brock Watkins, Cahill Aloy each hit impressive home runs. Game 2 of that series tonight, 7 Eastern on BYU Radio. Game 3 tomorrow, noon Eastern on BYU Radio. A couple of key hits here and there, and they can win this series.
Aloy got it to extras with a homer in the 9th. That was dramatic.
Yeah.
Women's tennis faces Auburn in the first round of the NCAA tournament today in Berkeley, hosted by Cal. It's BYU's first appearance since 2007 and 18th overall in program history. They win today, they'll play the winner of 10-seed Cal and Sacramento State tomorrow.
Bubba Hoang, Emily Astle, and Kendall Kovic, women's tennis, receiving Big 12 honors. Bobo made all Big 12 second team for singles. Astle and Kovic made all Big 12 second team in doubles.
And congrats to former BYU golfer Matt Thurmond, who is the Arizona State's men's golf coach. He was named the Pac-12 Coach of the Year. He was one of Bruce Brockbank's first recruits 32 years ago. That's pretty awesome. Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Good Whip Around is presented by Marist, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
College Basketball Report put out a list of transfer portal winners and losers. And take a look at this. They had BYU in the losers column.
Never like hearing that.
No. Would you consider BYU a transfer portal loser at this point?
We're in the middle of this process. You could declare right now, which it doesn't matter. Once all the dust settles and the transfer portal transfers happen, then we can have this discussion. No, I'm not calling BYU a transfer portal loser right now. But I do see Utah in there, so yes, I will say Utah's a loser.
And you, you got to sign somebody to be in the game in the transfer portal business.
Yes.
And they haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I thought we were going to show you the graphic. I guess we're not.
Yet we count Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders as big wins because they went in and they came back. Lauren Gustin was a huge win last year in the transfer portal for BYU. You have to still win your roster over. It's not assumed that you just retain everybody. It's all dating, no marriage. So this is how it is now. So no, it was not a loser.
So they're in the winning column in the roster category. In the portal.
Yeah. The roster's looking like it's shaping up to be really nice. Yeah. Right?
They're going to do some things in the portal.
I'm excited.
I think they're going to shift over to that other side.
I know. Let's go. We don't really care. Joe Lenardi has BYU as the second team out in his updated way too early bracketology. When will you start caring about bracketology?
November. November when games are starting to be played and then wins are judged immediately as, hey, they beat San Diego State. What did that do for BYU?
Yep.
I mean, they were number one in the net for a time last year.
Yeah, that was fun.
And so that's when that's exciting. All this stuff is, some of these teams are going to be completely different by the end of the summer. And so I know they put them out because we read them. and we look at them.
We bring them up on this program.
And we bring them up on this program. They win. Yeah. But they start to matter in November, and then, of course, we get white-knuckled through February.
Yes, it's way more fun, certainly when the season starts, which is November 4th, by the way. And then, you know, when it really, really matters, it's kind of February, right? But we pay attention when the season starts.
That's what we do.
I like it.
West Virginia unveiled new all-black uniforms yesterday that'll pay homage to the rich coal and mining history in the state. Are you digging these things?
Nice pun. Yes. I liked October Sky, the movie, so I'm down.
You know what? I've been to West Virginia for baseball a couple months ago. Those folks were so nice to us. I just think they're first class. They love their culture and community and all that stuff.
Yep.
They will eat this thing up.
Yep.
And you know how BYU fans react when the Cougars roll out in black uniforms? It just takes it up a notch.
Yeah.
So, good marketing tool for those guys.
My sister lives in Peterstown, West Virginia, and so she'll enjoy those uniforms.
Right next to Phil's town?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
About 10 miles.
A college summer baseball team, the Tri-City Chili Peppers, out of Colonial Heights, Virginia, will play its first ever cosmic baseball game under black lights with full glow in dark uniforms. Is this a genius idea or trouble waiting to happen?
Feels like trouble initially because if that ball's not lit up just right and an inside heater comes,
oh boy,
what's the batter supposed to do? But if there's a limit on how fast they can pitch,
I highly doubt it.
So that the player's life isn't in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Maybe for one night, or maybe a couple of innings people would watch. I don't know. If it's the pitch of night and you're out in left field, you're aglow but nothing else is, I don't know what that's like. I don't think that'd be fun.
It could get weird, but we're seeing more and more of exhibition baseball led by the Savannah Bananas, banana ball, kind of try and reach different audiences with baseball. So I appreciate the creativity. I think it's pretty interesting.
It's definitely in the idea category
yes,
of ideas.
Is. Yes, it is.
And I'd probably check it out.
Brett Yormark and the Big 12 rep said they didn't think of it first.
No.
But no, that's a fun idea. BYU's newest signee coming up, Mariah Hutchins joins the program. Why she transferred from Santa Clara to Provo, what she brings to the Cougars. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of BYU Sports Nation in Studio B in Provo, Utah on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Jeremy Jordan alongside Dave McCann. We like incoming transfers that make an impact, and our next guest is just that. Her name is Mariah Hutchins from Santa Clara, coming to BYU. Mariah, welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Thank you so much for having me.
We feel familiar with Santa Clara, given the WCC connection with the Cougars, but now you come to BYU and into the Big 12. But ultimately, what were some of the factors of why you wanted to make the move to Provo?
Yeah, I mean, when I was in the transfer portal, I felt like it was kind of a no-brainer, just wanting to be at a spot where I would have a great opportunity on and off the court, be surrounded by great people. And I felt throughout that process, BYU was just that.
Now we have some video of you scoring baskets against BYU, and now you'll be shooting for the Cougars. During your experiences against the Cougars, was there anything that impressed you that maybe you thought you might one day want to be a part of this, or is it just totally random?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely nothing that I thought about prior. Obviously, having 2 years of being familiar with BYU, playing against them as a freshman, home and away, and then this year, you know, playing against them in the WBIT, I wasn't able to play during that game due to a back injury. But it was really nice to just, you know, be on the bench watching them play, you know, going through scout, getting familiar with their players, how they coach, just their style of play was really helpful. So when they did end up reaching out, I was like, you know what, this is a staff and a team that I feel like I'm really familiar with, although I hadn't had many conversations with. It all worked out really well, and I'm excited to be scoring some baskets for the Cougars.
And I'm told there's a connection. You played club ball with Emma Calvert and Kaylee Woolston. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So I played with Emma Calvert, I want to say my sophomore year, going to junior year of high school, and then Kaylee Woolston the following year. So it was really nice to have those connections and kind of, you know, already know them and know their experience with BYU. And, you know, it was just really helpful.
And Kaylee's going on a mission. You're like, wait, you're not going to be here when I come over? What's going on? Where are you going?
Yes, I was really sad, but obviously I'm excited for her. Because Kaylee is a baller. She's so fun to play with. So, but I mean, going on that mission will be super exciting.
Amber Whiting and her staff, the team learned a whole lot in this first year in the Big 12 about physical play and players with grit and determination to take on some of these teams. Was that part of her sell to you?
Yeah, I mean, I know when Amber and I chatted, it was just a lot about being in a place where we can grow and help this program be successful in the Big 12. And obviously, you know, going from the WCC to the Big 12 is a big jump, but it's something that I know I want to challenge myself with. I mean, it's one of the best conferences in America, so it's kind of hard to pass up. And I think just wanting to be in an environment where no game is going to be taken lightly. You know, we're not going to walk into any game where it's like, oh, well, we're going to beat this team by 30 to 40. So, like, you know, how hard do I really have to try? So I know going into the Big 12, you know, every game's a competition, and you want to prove yourself. And I know Coach Amber and I talked a lot about wanting to bring this program to the top of the Big 12 rankings. We don't want to settle.
I'm told you're a guard who has good height, 6 foot length, and can shoot it and score off the bounce. Is that an accurate assessment of your game?
Yeah, I mean, I would say as a 6 foot guard, I'm very versatile. I'm able to do a lot of things. I'm able to score in a lot of different ways. I'm able to guard multiple positions. So I'd say it's really helped with my game, just being able to grow on that aspect. You know, as a freshman at Santa Clara, I came in having to play the forward just due to injury. So I feel like that grew my game a lot. I was having to play against girls who are way bigger than me in height and in just physicality. So I was able to grow a lot and learn from that experience. And then, you know, my sophomore year coming back into the shooting guard position was really nice. I felt like overall, I take pride in being an all-around player.
Your dad, Drake, played ball in Brazil, played here in college. What role has he had in your basketball life?
Oh my gosh, he has had the biggest role. I wasn't very fond of basketball. I wanted to be a dancer. But, you know, dad was really pushing for me to get involved in sports, and basketball just ended up being one of them with his experience in it. He was my coach all growing up until about eighth grade. And so I think his mentality, his mindset's really helped me grow and become the player I am today. I'm the oldest of four. So he obviously coaches and teaches each of us differently. But with me, it was just all about being a great teammate, you know, being for the team. You know, we're not here to gloat about myself. I'm not here to make everything about me. It's just pushing really for the team, really just to make everyone around me better. And I'm so grateful that he has raised me that way. I'm so grateful for my dad. I was so grateful to play for him and just have his input in my life. Yeah.
It's Mariah, but it's spelled just a little differently. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I mean, my parents have named all of us, like me and all my siblings, in very different, unique ways. I'm not sure exactly where they got the Mariah spelling from, but I mean, I'm glad that it's not anything plain or simple.
You'll fit into Utah County great. There's some interesting spellings of names here, which will be awesome. I also noticed in the game logs, you had some big games against big competition, notably 16 and 17 points against Oregon and Oregon State. Do you feel like you've raised your game when you're playing better competition, which will be the case in the Big 12?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, in my Zoom meeting with the BYU staff prior to my visit, me and Coach Morgan Bailey talked a lot about, you know, rising to the occasion, rising to the level that we play against. And I really felt like that resonates with me. I love to prove myself. I felt like growing up, I've always been seen as an underdog. So I'm going to step into every situation, every game, you know, wanting to prove myself and, you know, make myself and my teammates better and help us win. So it's been fortunate, you know, against the big games, I've been able to play well and execute and do the little things. So yeah, I would say going into the Big 12, I'm excited because every game is going to be like that, you know, no games off. Like I said, so it's super exciting.
Well, now you're moving to the state of Utah, and you've been around a number of states. List the number of states where you've lived.
Yeah, so I was born in Seattle, Washington. Lived there for just a few months. My family is from Oregon, so we went there for a little bit. Then was in San Diego for a couple years. Then moved to Phoenix, Arizona, while my mom was getting her degree to become a doctor. Might not be as specific as she would want me to be on that sense, but we were there for a little bit, and then my dad's parents moved to Georgia, so we would visit them for a bit, and we ended up moving there, lived there the longest for about 12-13 years, and then moved to Colorado going into my sophomore year of high school, Then obviously back in the Bay Area for college, and then now excited to end it in Utah, hopefully.
That's right. All these spots have prepared you to come to Provo. What do you anticipate? What will be the most joy about living here?
Yeah, I mean, I know from experience, you know, coming to Utah here and there, it's a little bit similar to Colorado with the mountains and the environment, but I'm just excited to be around different people, different cultures. So, just kind of explore that, you know, kind of see where I can land my feet and get acclimated in.
And you know Emma already. You can hang out with Emma, Kaylee, before she, bounces for her mission, so that'll be fun. And apparently you're a big Taylor Swift fan. Like, how big are we talking here?
Oh, gosh. So I have been a Taylor Swift fan since probably 2008. Just been a diehard. She's been my biggest role model. I love her to death.
Awesome.
And you know the lyrics to every one of her songs?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely.
That's awesome. Serious.
You'll fit in here just
fine,
right?
You're going to be all right.
You'll fit in here just fine. We appreciate the time. We're looking forward to you being in Provo. When will you get here, by the way?
Yeah, so I don't finish school till June 15th just because Santa Clara is on the quarter system, but I've worked with my professors to get there a little bit earlier just since we have camp starting June 3rd, so... Me and my family are going to drive from Bay Area to Provo June 1st. So I'm so excited to get here. I can't believe it's already like 4 weeks away.
My 10-year-old daughter is taking the basketball camp, so maybe we will say hello and see you at one of those. It'll be fun. Mariah, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yep, we'll see you soon.
One of the newest additions on the women's basketball team, Mariah Hudgens.
BYU softball back in action later today against Kansas. Beat them yesterday. First pitch, 6 o'clock Eastern
time. Do it again.
And play again tomorrow at 1 Eastern. Both games on Big 12 Now on ESPN. Plus, the conference tournament starts next Wednesday.
And everybody qualifies, so got to show up. Let's go. How has your fandom been affected by the transfer portal and NIL? More of your responses after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYUSN. Our question of the day is this: how has your fandom been affected by the transfer portal and NIL in college sports? Josh Schnurr on Instagram. NIL, yes. Transfer portal, not so much. Although they should put some type of cap on both. We'll see what kind of regulations happen.
You got to have something, or it's a free-for-all.
And right? how much do you want on it? Yeah, that can get complicated.
Guitar Guy on X, good when it benefits us, not so much when it doesn't. Really kind of hate the way that any pretense of loyalty or love for the university has been blown up by love of money by a good number of student-athletes, but they deserve to get paid.
It is tricky, right, because you want the individuals to have the right to do what the coaches already have, which is bounce and pursue the almighty dollar there. But, yeah, what level of brand loyalty and whatnot? Yeah, it's an interesting, complicated space that we've gone through the last couple of weeks with various players, namely Dallin Hall and Rich Saunders, choosing to return. And being at that golf tournament on Tuesday, I thought it's tough to return if you transfer elsewhere. You're not, like, going to be invited to this type of thing in this community. Like, it's not like you're disowned. It's just tough to kind of be a huge part of that if you leave, right?
It's a paradigm shift from student employee that BYU employs all kinds of students for jobs.
Yep.
And sports is over here, but can sports creep over into the student employee category? That's kind of where
eventually
this is going.
It will. It's just, will there be a players union at some point? What's that going to look like? Yeah, it's all unique. Our lead voice of the day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated. Tom Newfer on X. I cheer for the BYU uniform. Every game I watch, I'm reminded my time at BYU, which I loved. NIL losses are annoying and cause a roller coaster of emotions, but they don't affect my BYU fandom. Ultimately, it's about the Cougs, right?
It's the name on the front.
And these athletes and coaches are the men and women who play, coach, and win the games, right? So,
hey, shout out today. A rise and shout out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Big tennis today.
Yes, first time in 17 years, women's tennis is in the NCAA tournament, taking on Auburn. So
awesome.
Beat Charles Barkley's Tigers is what we're asking of the women's
Take
tennis
down
team
Barkley
tonight. Yeah, let's go. Our thanks to today's guests, Dawson Baker and Mariah Hudgens.
Both were fantastic.
Great conversations.
Looking forward to seeing them both play this fall and winter. Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand on BYUSN.com.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. For Dave, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Katie Fitt. May the 4th be with you tomorrow. Go Cougs!